it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. First off, before we get started, I want to thank Sandra for doing double duty. My lovely wife, Leslie, and I spent our anniversary on the beach in Florida, out on the Gulf Coast. Enjoyed our time just south of Sarasota and had a great time. And then we spent, I think, 5 days with her mom and dad there in Central Florida and just had a nice respite, a little R&R. It's been a while since I got out of town and had a little relaxation. But with only Sandra and myself being here at the ministry, that means that somebody's got to do double duty, and it fell on Sandra. And so she covered for me the 2 days last week, and she really got pretty overwhelmed and trying to get the newsletter out and all of that. But she did a bang-up job, and I want to thank Sandra for taking care of everything while I was off running around and having a good time. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Henry Macko. I know the sound quality wasn't great. He was in Mexico with his wife, and it was a little hard to get the volume up and the clarity there, but I've already gotten some feedback, and some of y'all really enjoyed the interview with Henry, and I hope to have another one with him. He's a very, very intelligent and astute gentleman, and it was a fun chat. But this week is my favorite program of the month. It is Secrets. We're up to volume 320, and we're going to dive right in. I'm not going to do the scoreboard this month. It's not flu season. Actually, we're going to be in the hundreds here at the Lazy Bee Ranch for the next 10 days, it looks like. So flu can't hang in this weather. The only thing that hangs out is the mosquitoes that are multiplying in the little bit of water that we have laying around for now from the rains that we had recently. And the cicadas are out. Baby deer being born, and I had two playing in my front yard this morning as I was getting ready to record this program, watching them hop around, just cute as all get out. But it's the dog days of summer. So without further ado, let's dive right into Secrets Volume 320. And speaking of the flu and the Rona, you know, there are a number of people that are finally telling the truth about the jab, the gene therapy that they foisted upon the American population, well, the global population, but as an American, I'm speaking for here in America. A number of organizations and companies forced vaccines on people before they could come into the office, and now they are finally admitting that the gene therapy really didn't prevent people from getting the Rona or spreading it, and now they're having to admit that it's causing myocarditis, pericarditis, stillborn babies. It's causing miscarriages, sterilization for some. Well, here's something new that came out. According to a top insurance analyst, those who were vaccinated against the Rona have a 26% higher mortality rate on average compared to those who declined taking this jab. The death toll is even more staggering for vaccinated people under 50 years of age, where mortality is 49% higher than the unvaccinated. This is data that was gathered from the United Kingdom, and it was brought to the attention of Senator Ron Johnson, a Republican from Wisconsin. It was brought to his attention by Josh Sterling, the top insurance analyst here in America. According to Sterling, We could have 600,000 Americans die per year because of this jab. And thanks to the emergency use authorization, Big Pharma is completely protected from any lawsuits for wrongful death. I don't know about companies that forced their employees to take the jab, but Big Pharma is protected. Well, also in the news was Target had a display for Gay Pride Month. I guess they decided June was going to be Gay Pride Month, like we need to celebrate sodomy for 31 days. But Target had a great big pride display in their stores. Well, they had a meeting after the uproar created by the boycotting of Bud Light by conservatives and subsequent, the falling sales of Bud Light. They can't even give it away in some places. But Target reevaluated their position and decided, because they were grooming children. Some of the bathing suits were for transgender children, little boys. And I'm not going to discuss what was part of it, but it's disgusting. Well, it's almost as if this company told Bud Light, hold my beer. Have you heard of the clothing and gear company called The North Face? Well, they recently released a video promoting their product utilizing Patagonia, a drag queen. This is the second straight year that The North Face has featured this drag queen in a video. Well, Representative Lauren Boebert from Colorado got on Twitter and said, quote, well, I guess North Face wanted to get a taste of what conservatives did to Bud Light and Target. How many times do we have to explain to the woke marketing department at these disgusting companies that America is not a nation of degenerates? Close quote. I don't think they're listening, and I don't think they care until the bottom line gets dire. Target has pushed this Pride Month, but it's just the tip of the iceberg. Fox News uncovered a long-standing partnership between Target and the GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network. This is a kindergarten through 12 education group, which focuses on getting districts to adopt policies that keep parents in the dark on their child's in-school gender transition. Target and GLSEN have worked together for 10 years. Target's donated $2.1 million to this organization. GLSEN organizes and provides educators instructions on how they can make math, more inclusive of trans and binary identities. They want them to use they-them pronouns in word problems. Good night, nurse. They also have policies for districts to follow. The Indoctrination Center, whichever public indoctrination center or school that the district is, shall ensure that all personally identifiable and medical information relating to transgender and non-binary students is kept confidential. Staff or educators shall not disclose any information that may reveal a student's gender identity to others, including parents or guardians. This disclosure must be discussed with the student prior to any action. Well, when Target decided they were going to move their pride displays from a prominent location at the front of the store, Libtard Governor himself, Gavin Newsom, blew a gasket. He got a little miffed by it, and he got on Twitter and threw a little tantrum. He posted, quote, this isn't just a couple of stores in the South. There is a systematic attack on the gay community happening across the country. close quote. Now, Target representatives have claimed that the backlash from the Pride display has led to threats against the safety of their employees. But they don't tell you who threatened them. Have you noticed any of the news reports? If you watch news, local news, and I occasionally will watch my local news, they always mention these threats, these potential attacks against Target. But they never tell you it's from the loony left and Antifa that are miffed that Target, instead of going bankrupt, decided to move the display from a prominent location to the back. Those are the people that are calling in threats, not Christian people. They'd rather picket and protest out front and try to dissuade people from shopping at Target and have them join the boycott than they would harm anybody. Well, speaking of protesting and mistreatment, you know, January 6th, they've labeled it an insurrection. All of the pro-Trump protesters that stormed the Capitol. Well, they're being held, a bunch of them are being held, they call it Gitmo in D.C. D.C. Gitmo. It's akin to Guantanamo Bay where we send the terrorists down in Cuba. But the accused are being held in these heinous conditions, denied medical treatments, denied representation, visitation. They're being punished because they have the audacity and the gall to claim that the election was stolen in 2020. Well, Daniel Goodwin is a resident of Texas. He appeared on the Tucker Carlson show back when it was still on Fox, and he promoted a website where supporters could donate money to himself and other political prisoners that are being held in D.C. Gitmo. Now the Justice Department wants Goodwin to give up more than $25,000 that he raised. And it's not just Goodwin that it's happening to. Prosecutors in more than 1,000 criminal cases are increasingly asking judges to impose fines on top of these prison sentences to offset the donations that Americans are giving to these citizens for legal counsel. GiveSendGo is a free Christian funding site that fundraisers are being utilized at. So the defendants are barred from GoFundMe. They're not even allowed because, well, they're not allowed due representation and due process. And, well, they don't need any money because they're pro-Trumpers. They just need to be sufferers. Marcus Maley, a Virginia man, is scheduled to be sentenced for the protests of January 6th. He raised more than $16,000, and he's described himself as a January 6th POW. He asked for this money for his family. Prosecutors have requested a $16,000 plus fine. So far this year, prosecutors have sought more than $390,000 in fines against at least 21 defendants. Judges have imposed at least $124,000 in fines against 33 J6 defendants this year. In the previous 2 years, judges ordered more than 100 of these defendants to pay collectively more than $240,000 in fines. Nathaniel DeGrave was recently sentenced to more than 3 years in prison and was ordered to pay a $25,000 fine. This Nevada resident raised over $120,000 in GiveSendGo fundraising campaigns. So it's not enough that they're held in these bleak and dire conditions. Now they're not allowed to pay for defending themselves. Goodness gracious. But criminals keep getting away with crimes, politicians especially. Allison Lundergan Grimes was the Secretary of State of Kentucky. She's a close personal friend with Hillary Clinton. She served as the Secretary of State from 2012 until 2020 when she was term limited. But she helped the Democrat Party cheat in elections and abuse the authority of her office. While she was Secretary of State, She was the Democrat Party's choice to run against Mitch McConnell in 2014 for the Senate. Her father, former Kentucky Democratic Party Chairman Jerry Lundergan, went to prison in 2019 for making illegal campaign contributions to his daughter in that 2014 Senate campaign. So the apple doesn't fall far from the tree in this case, does it? She's been under investigation by at least three state agencies. Her and her staff began conducting illegal searches of people's voter registration history and voting records several years ago. They looked at the voting records of people applying for jobs with the Secretary of State's office. What better way to make sure that it's an all-Democrat State Department than weeding out those who might vote Republican? But these are just part of the ethics violations Grimes committed. They also, her and her staff also searched voting records of candidates who ran against her, enemies of the Democrat Party, a federal judge, the Kentucky Education Commission, and everyone on the Kentucky Board of Education. Grimes was able to eventually muscle her way to take control of the State Board of Elections. And once in control, she was able to force through a no-bid contract for one of her own campaign donors. Also, Grimes illegally downloaded voter registration data onto flash drives for herself and for Democrat Party friends running for office. Now, if this is going on in Kentucky, a red state, what do you think is going on in blue states like New York, California? Makes you wonder how rampant voter fraud is. Goodness. Well, Gary Shapley, S-H-A-P-L-E-Y, was a veteran of the IRS 14 years in, and he was assigned to lead an investigation into a high-profile person in January of 2020. He has neither confirmed nor denied that this high-profile person is Hunter Biden, but CBS News says it is. Shapley said from the very beginning of the investigation, there were deviations from how IRS criminal investigations normally function. These deviations from the normal process each and every time seem to benefit the subject. Now, research by the Washington Post and subsequent reporting revealed that his allegations of slow-walking investigations is true. 8 months ago, the federal prosecutors believed they had accumulated enough evidence to charge Hunter Biden. But the charges have not come. The prosecutors are considering four charges against Hunter Biden. They mix between felonies and misdemeanors related to tax and business crimes, and one for allegedly lying on a federal document when he purchased a firearm. Joe Biden wants gun control for everybody but his son Hunter, I guess. Goodness, let's move on. Hanoi Jane. Yep, Jane Fonda. I don't know if she took a private jet or if she flew commercial, but she flew to Cannes, France. And she lectured people there on climate change. Hanoi Jane said, quote, "We got about 7-8 years to cut ourselves in half of what we use of fossil fuels. And unfortunately, the people that have the least responsibility for it are hit the hardest. People on islands, people of color. We have to arrest and jail those men, and they're all men that are behind this." Close quote. What kind of men? White men. Oh, yeah, we're all guilty. Now, if you recall, Fonda earlier this year claimed that climate change crisis is due to racism and us evil white men. And in 72, Hanoi Jane went to North Vietnam, and she applauded an anti-aircraft gun crew, the same ones that were shooting down our planes and our service members. She thought it was great. She said, quote, "If you understood what communism was, you would hope, you would pray on your knees that we would someday become communist." Close quote. She's a commie. But how many in Hollywood aren't commies? The ones that aren't seem to be leaving California. They're fed up. Fonda also recently said pro-life activists and politicians should be murdered for their beliefs on abortion in an appearance on The View. Now, I didn't see that appearance because I don't watch that show. Bunch of cackling hens, and I'm not going to watch it. It's garbage to me. Speaking of garbage, Biden's climate czar, John Kerry, recently spoke about the need to transform the way our food is produced in order to lower emissions. Kerry said, quote, "A lot of people have no clue that agriculture contributes about 33% of all the emissions of the world, depending a little bit on how you count it, but it's anywhere from 26 to 33%. And we can't get to net zero. We can't get this job done unless agriculture is front and center as part of the solution." What is the solution? Eat bugs, right? That's what the World Economic Forum told us. Eat bugs. They're good for you. Now, these elite are going to dine on filet mignon or a big old porterhouse, some kind of beef, maybe a whole slab of beef. But we get to eat bugs. Now, they initially went after the fossil fuel and energy sector. Shut down coal-fired power plants. Although Southeast Asia is building a whole mess of coal-fired power plants in China and other Southeast Asia countries. Why? Because it provides energy. They could care less about the environment, but we have to. We have to worry about the environment, right? At our own expense. But now that they have already declared war on the energy sector, now it's time to go after agriculture. They want to reduce fertilizer use, land use, and they want to get rid of cows because of methane gas. In 2021, Kerry said the residents of Earth had only 9 years left to avert the worst disaster of climate change. Well, now, Kerry says it's not climate change anymore. He refuses to call it that. He says it is a climate crisis. He made his remarks at the Agricultural Innovation Mission for Climate that was hosted by our U.S. Department of Agriculture, stockpiled with a bunch of commie pinko leftists pushing a false narrative on climate change. There were agriculture ministers from across the globe, and they are urging farmers to reshape food production to reduce emissions. In the meantime, they're also pushing an initiative for diversity, equity, and inclusion as a critical part to the success of fighting this climate crisis. Biden has pledged $1 billion to the Green Climate Fund. He has set an ambitious goal of achieving a carbon pollution-free power sector by 2035 and net zero emissions by no later than 2050. Now, the Netherlands has launched a full-out war on their agriculture businesses. They're buying and closing farms, restricting the use of nitrogen fertilizer, and the farmers are protesting. Because in Europe, the Netherlands is one of the premier producers of dairy, meat, feeding the planet. And they want to do away with it, so you're going to have to eat bugs. Now, the Secretary of Agriculture is Tom Vilsack. And he has pioneered plans to prioritize federal agricultural loans based on race. Based on race. He has moved to withdraw school lunch funding from school districts that refuse to allow male students to use female bathrooms or female locker rooms. I don't know what the Department of Agriculture has to do with the transgender push in education, but he's another one of those loony leftists that Biden is stockpiled in the administration. Vilsack has defended his race-based approach to funding farmers, saying discriminating against white farmers in the present is a way to correct discrimination against black farmers in the past. Now, a court has disagreed, but I could have told you I was wrong. When I grew up as a kid, my parents always told me two wrongs don't make a right. You're supposed to learn from your lessons, correct what you erred in, and move forward. But we can't have that, can we? Speaking of moving forward, This woman is one lucky woman. $11.25 million richer thanks to a New York City jury. She was fired for being late to work almost 50 times. But she claimed she was fired because of discrimination and filed a lawsuit. And the pinko commies that got put on that jury agreed with her. Her name is Robin Europe. She worked at Equinox Gym in New York in 2018 and 2019 for 10 months. Ms. Europe argued the company's reasoning was really just a pretext for discrimination against her because she is a woman of color. The jury reached their decision in 1 hour. Tardy, almost 50 times. Couldn't get to work on time. But yet she's given $11 million as punishment for this gym firing her because of alleged racism. Good night, nurse. Well, here's another victim of racism. She was a Hunter College professor. There's a video that went viral of her attacking a table that pro-life students had put up with pamphlets and information about abortion. And she went over and just destroyed the table. And then she had the audacity to cuss these students out. They weren't talking to anybody. They weren't confronting anybody. They were standing there quietly offering information about abortion. And she blew a gasket. Well, then the New York Post had a reporter show up outside her apartment. And he introduced himself as a reporter from the New York Post. She grabbed a machete and put it to the reporter's neck. Now, the videographer that was with him said, "We need to leave." And they took off. Well, she chased them down the street, wielding this machete. Said she was going to kill them if they came back to her block. Her name is Shalyn Rodriguez. And she was finally fired after a video of her chasing these guys with a machete went viral. It was okay for her to destroy the pro-life student's table. It was okay for that. But, well, she crossed the line when she threatened to kill somebody with a machete, I guess. But she said that the college capitulated to racist, white nationalists, and misogynists by firing her. Now, Greg Gutfeld from Fox News joked on his program, The Five, quote, "Anybody who objects to somebody trying to kill you with a machete has to be a bad, evil racist," close quote. I guess so. Now, I know I'm running out of time, but I want to get to this piece real quick. California, you're in dire straits. State Farm Insurance Company has announced it is not going to accept any new homeowner insurance applications in California. Why? Because of rapidly growing catastrophic risks from wildfire and historic increases in construction costs. So Newsom, tree hugger that he is, refusing to create fire breaks and clean up all of the dead grasses that are perfect for fuel for these wildfires. It's too expensive now. With Buttigieg in charge of the supply lines, it's too expensive to get construction equipment, and the insurance company is not in the business to lose money, so State Farm is pulling out of California as far as homeowner insurance. Now, they're going to continue auto insurance, and they will continue to serve existing customers. But if you're new to State Farm, you're not getting a home insurance policy. Well, that's going to take care of the first half. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me some of your time. As always, I greatly appreciate it. We're going to have to take a brief pause, and when I come back, we're going to dive right back in. We're covering Secrets this week, Secrets Volume 320. Stay with us, won't you? I'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. You know, with all the talk about this illegal immigration and what's going on in Texas and, well, where we're busing them to New York and Chicago and what's going on in Arizona, you have to ask one question. Who benefits? Cui bono? Well, I know the United States Chamber of Commerce is pushing for all this immigration, illegal immigration, because their supporters, the businesses that give money to the Chamber of Commerce, the United States Chamber of Commerce, care only about one thing, and that's the bottom line. Not America first. No patriotism. Money. The love of money is the root of all evil, and that's the root of the problem. All you have to do is follow the money. You'll find the truth. And in this outstanding book by Michelle Malkin, entitled Open Borders, Inc., she does an extensive expose of who is behind our immigration crisis. In the name of compassion, but driven by financial profit, it's the globalist elites, those businesses in Silicon Valley, and the radical left are all conspiring to undo the rule of law, subvert our homeland security, shut down free speech, and make gobs of money off the backs of these illegal aliens, refugees, and guest workers. I read an article the other day about H-1B visas, Silicon Valley. All these big tech companies are firing American workers, laying them off, whatever you want to call it. Doesn't matter. They're unemployed. And they're bringing in foreign workers on H-1B visas because they can pay them less money. Who benefits? The elites. Politicians want cheap votes or cheap labor. Church leaders want pew fillers and collection plate donors. Social justice militants working with corporate America want to do away with free speech that they deem as hateful while they rake in tens of millions of dollars promoting uncontrolled immigration, both legal and illegal. In this outstanding expose, Michelle Malkin names names, from Pope Francis to George Clooney, George Soros to the Koch brothers, from Jack Dorsey to Tim Cook and Mark Zuckerberg. Enlightening as it is infuriating. Open Borders, Inc. reveals the powerful forces working to erase America. This is a 468-page book, hardcover, and we're only asking $28. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That'll make your total $34. You can order your copy of Open Borders, Inc. by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. If you don't get Sandra or myself, please leave your name, number, and a brief message. We'll call you back as soon as we can. You know, we're busting our backsides every day to get orders taken. We're pushing orders out the door, hauling the mail, and doing everything we can to serve you. And sometimes we're going to miss a phone call. Be patient with us and just leave your name and number, and we'll call you right back, I promise. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those charge cards by faxing in an order. The fax number is 512-263-9793. Number of people have started faxing in their orders. You can use an order form or a blank piece of paper, whatever you choose. It's easy for us. Put in your name and address, the item or items that you want to order, put in your charge card, your expiration date, and if you can, the 3-digit security code, and fax it to us. We'll process it and get it sent to you. If you want to use those charge cards at our secure shopping cart, just go to powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for Open Borders right there on the main page. Click that link, put in your name, address, shipping method, charge card information, hit submit. We'll get it and coming to you, okay? If you want to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. Open Borders, Inc., $34 postpaid. Get your copy now. Okay, and now let's return to our regular program. Today we're covering Secrets, Volume 320, my favorite program of the month. I love going through this because it's not topic specific. It's just a bunch of news that you may or may not have run across. And I'm telling you, I don't use control media for anything but a fish wrap. It's not worth anything else. But I scour the web pages. I've got a bunch of friends of the ministry that email me articles and things that pique their curiosity, and they've done some digging, and they forward it to me. And I just appreciate all of y'all's help. I really do. Well, if you recall back during President Trump's term as the president, Russia collusion. That's all we seem to hear. Didn't matter if it was controlled media or Twitter or a few alternative news sites, but they didn't cover it the way controlled media did, but Russia collusion. Well, now that the truth has come out, it seems like it was a waste of taxpayer dollars, doesn't it? All the time that Congress was impeaching Trump and wasting our taxpayer dollars over a hoax, it should have infuriated patriotic Americans. Congress did nothing about it. They just went along with a charade. Well, now, Representative Ana Paulina Luna of Florida, a Republican, proposed recently a hefty $16 million fine on Congressman Adam Schiff of California, Shifty Schiff, because he disseminated falsehoods regarding the Trump-Russia collusion. Now, she claims this fine covers about half of the total cost the American taxpayers put out for all of these fake investigations and all of this hearings and things of that nature. Shifty Schiff was the chairman of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. This is a position of trust. These are the people that get background and inside information about potential threats to America. But Shifty Schiff bought along the Democratic Party line and backed Hillary Clinton. And next thing you know, he's holding hearings and deposing witnesses and wasting our time and taxpayer dollars. Well, her resolution asserts that Shifty Schiff abused the trust that was empowered upon his position as the chairman by repeatedly citing evidence of collusion that the subsequent special counsel report has unequivocally refuted. So because he deceived the committee and Congress and the American people by putting out these falsehoods, she has put this resolution forward to fine Shifty Schiff. She also is attempting to censor and condemn Schiff for his conduct, deeming it unworthy of an elected member of the House. Well, they had a vote today. Today is June 15th. When I'm recording this, they had a vote on this resolution. 20 rhinos. You thought they were Republicans, but they are Republicans in name only. 20 rhinos voted with the Democrats to protect Adam Shifty Schiff from censure and fines. 2 Republicans voted present and 4 didn't vote at all. The most shocking of the Republicans was Thomas Massie. What does he have to hide? He talks tough when he comes on Fox. He seems like a very intelligent man. But what caused him to vote no on this resolution? He claims it's because it's unconstitutional to fine Shifty Schiff. All Luna said she was trying to get back was taxpayer dollars. And you know Shifty Schiff has worked the system just like Nancy Pelosi, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden. They have all worked the system and enriched their pocketbooks, and those are the Democrats that come to mind. There are Republicans who have done the same thing. I wouldn't be shocked if Dan Crenshaw wasn't up to his eyeballs in dirty money. Okay? I don't know for a fact if he is or not. I'm just saying that both sides of the aisle partake of backroom deals, insider trading knowledge to improve their lot in life at the expense of the American taxpayer. And I don't know about you, but I'm about fed up with it. Well, here's another thing that is starting to wear thin with me. There's a man, Jacob Alvarenga Mejia, in Belrose Village, New York. He was at his home at 1:30 in the morning. He spotted three men outside his house trying to steal the wheels and tires off of his 2023 Toyota Highlander. He went outside with a kitchen knife and he stabbed one of the men multiple times. These three criminals loaded up, and they took their injured comrade to the hospital for treatment. Well, he happened to die at the hospital. Mejia has been arrested and charged with manslaughter and a first-degree assault for defending his property. If they would lock these thugs up, because criminals are going to do nothing but be criminal, if they had locked these thugs up, thrown away the key, made them do time, kept them off the streets, do you think that they would have traveled from the Bronx or whatever to try to steal these guys' wheels and tires? Get a job, man. Get a job. Quit trying to get nothing, something for nothing. Goodness. Well, speaking of New York, here's another one. There is a whistleblower who worked at the largest migrant hotel in New York City. He has revealed that almost 5,000 migrants, illegal immigrants, are staying a block away from Times Square, causing havoc for surrounding businesses and allowing children to drink alcohol and receiving millions of dollars in free benefits. His name is Carlos Arellano. He said, quote, "I've been doing this for 5 years, and in my 5 years, this has been the worst experience by far. The city of New York does not know what they're doing, and it's only going to get worse from here." This is a 28-floor hotel. The rooms were rented for $500 a night before Mayor Adams decided to stick the migrants, the illegal immigrants, in this hotel. And these people, because they don't own it, they're trashing the place. They take showers without shower curtains. They cause water damage because they don't use shower curtains. They've got hot plates in their rooms. They're starting fires in their rooms with these hot plates. The ceiling in the lobby has already collapsed because of these migrants. Ariana noted that the hotel is pretty much collapsing. The electrical infrastructure is fried. We have everything from power outages to fires. He mentioned the lobby ceiling collapsing. And he also noted that these illegal immigrants have decided they don't want to leave this prime location. Other hotels in the city have stated that they don't want to shelter migrants. I don't blame them, not after what they're doing to this one. There are reports detailing violence, weapons, drug and alcohol abuse. There was a 10-year-old girl who was caught with a 14 and a 12-year-old, and every one of them was intoxicated. They looked these people up in the system and found out the parents had checked out 2 days ago. They left the kids behind. Were they even their kids? We're not vetting them, so how do we know? Arellano stated many of the migrants leave their kids unattended at the hotel for up to a week at a time. They walk around the hotel with guns. City employees have had to be walked to their cars after threats from these immigrants. Arellano stated that the migrants are given hotel rooms that come with free benefits such as Uber services, health care, free car seats and cribs for children, laundry services, housekeeping, metro cards for the subway, and three meals a day. So why would they want to give that up? I don't blame them. They're getting something for nothing. They're getting everything for nothing. Oh, and because of New York's free ID NYC services, they get an ID from New York. With this ID, they can get food stamps. The New York official government website states, quote, immigration status does not matter. Anyone can apply for the identification service. This ID can be used as identification for employment, health services, affordable housing, and can also be used to open a bank account at select financial institutions. The website lists the bank that they can use. In the past year, 65,000 illegal immigrants have made their way to New York, and the state has recently declared a state of emergency. They're busing them from El Paso. They didn't tell you that in controlled media because the governor or the mayor of El Paso is a Democrat. Denver's been busing them. Democrats. In cahoots with Democrats. But when Abbott does it, the governor, a Republican from Texas, does it. When DeSantis sends them up there, the governor from Florida, they raise Cain. City officials in New York City claim they have already spent over $1 billion housing these illegal immigrants. Various reports have stated it's costing the city up to $5 million a day to keep up with the migrant demands. And ultimately, this could cost New York taxpayers up to $10 billion, with a B, $10 billion total for 2023. Speaking of billions of dollars, you remember Black Lives Matter and all the money that corporate America was buying support for? Yeah, Black Lives Matter. Between 2020 and 2022, they collected $90 million in donations, but they only doled out $30 million. Most of the benefactors of BLM's donations were friends and family of co-founder Patrice Cullors. Her graffiti artist brother Paul received $1.7 million in salary and contracts. Between 2020 and 2021, donations to BLM sank by $67 million. Went from $76 million to just $9.2 million. The organization is on the brink of bankruptcy. Its finances have plunged $8.5 million in the red in the last year, but they're still paying staff seven-figure salaries. You know, Patrice Cullors was buying all these properties, claiming that it was going to be used for BLM's entertaining purposes, like the multi-million dollar house in L.A. There's one they bought in Toronto, Canada. They were going to claim they opening a BLM Canada, paying all of her friends and family tons of money. Man, oh, man. Well, you remember I did the program with Pastor Matt Furse on Yuval Noah Harari? Very powerful program. If you don't have a copy, I think you should get it. Well, Harari is in the news again. This is an article from HeadlineUSA.com, and he argues that unified religions that are actually correct will be created if artificial intelligence will replace the scriptures. He claims that the power of AI, artificial intelligence, can be harnessed and used to reshape spirituality in the World Economic Forum's globalist idea of equity and inclusivism. There is a fundamental difference between the printing press and the AI, Harari said. It had no ideas of its own about the Bible. Is it good? Is it bad? How to interpret this? How to interpret that? AI can create new ideas. It can even write a new Bible. Harari claims, quote, in a few years there might be religions that are actually correct. Just think about a religion whose holy book is written by an AI. That could be a reality in a few years. A homosexual Jew seems like perfect person to to utilize artificial intelligence to rewrite a Bible that says everything he does is great, supports a globalist agenda, the hoax that is global climate change. Good night, nurse. Well, let's jump to California. Have you heard of Assembly Bill 957? Yeah, California lawmakers are very busy these days. This has been revised to treat parents' refusal to affirm their child's gender identity as violating the health, safety, and welfare of children in custody disputes. Now, this bill has already passed the state assembly, and if it's signed into law, if it gets through the Senate, it'll require judges that adjudicate disputes over transgender identifying children to favor the parent who will affirm the child's preferred identity. This latest version defines the health, safety, and welfare of a child to include a parent's affirmation of the child's gender identity. So if the child says that he is a girl and the parents don't affirm it, they can divorce the parents and the state will take custody of this child. The same thing is going to happen to foster parents. If you don't affirm this mental illness called transgenderism, you will lose your ability to be a foster parent and the children will be taken from you. They are working their hardest. Scott Wiener and Lori Wilson. Wiener's a senator. Wilson's an assemblywoman. They co-authored this bill and they are trying to enshrine left-wing gender ideology into California law. Well, I came across a wonderful presentation, a rebuttal for this AB 957 from Senator Scott Wilk, a Republican from Santa Clarita. He's one of two lone Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee in California. He has served 11 years in the legislature. Sadly, he is the only voice that's warning against the language in this bill on California Family Code. I want you to listen to what Senator Scott Wilk has to say about this.
I'm now in year 11 in the state legislature, and all the time we're proposing policies to protect children. After 11 years, I've come to a conclusion that we need to start protecting parents. That's just not happening. I've been here and witnessed a full frontal assault on charter schools, taking away parents' choice and how their children are going to be educated, to the detriment particularly of children of color. In recent years, we have put government bureaucrats between parents, children, and doctors when it comes to medical care. And now we have this where if a parent does not support the ideology of the government, they're going to be taken away from the home. Now, I agree with both Senator Wiener and Senator Laird that today it only involves divorce proceedings. And frankly, a judge can already factor this in. But I can assure you it's not going to end with divorce proceedings. In the past, when we've had these discussions and I've seen parental rights atrophied, I've encouraged people to keep fighting. I've changed my mind on that. If you love your children, you need to flee California. You need to flee. We are moving towards the pathway of the Handmaid's Tale. California is becoming the new Juliet, and it just breaks my heart. I'm born and raised in this state. I love this state. I'm not going to stay in this state because it's just too oppressive, and I believe in freedom, and so I'm going to move to America when I leave the legislature.
Powerful words. Now, this was a committee, and all the Democrats who were present voted yes to pass this out of committee. Two members of the committee were absent. Even though 100 residents testified against this to this committee, there were only 17 individuals present who supported the bill, 100-17. And they still voted to pass this garbage legislation promoting transgenderism, gender identity, gender dysphoria, whatever you call it. It's a mental illness, and it is wreaking havoc of our youth across this country. Here's another one, Senate Bill 553 in California. It has already passed the California State Senate. The most controversial part of this bill would prohibit employers from asking store employees to confront shoplifters. Democratic State Senator Dave Cortese, C-O-R-T-E-S-E, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. It could be Cortese. He sponsored this bill and insists that this will keep employees safe because when they try to stop thieves, people get hurt and oftentimes killed. Business owners who are on the bottom of this say the real effect will be to embolden shoplifters further. It's already bad enough with all these Soros-bought prosecutors. Retailers say that shrinkage, which is a industry term for shoplifting, retailers say shrinkage has exploded across the country. A 2022 survey by the National Retail Federation found that retailers are losing almost $100 billion, yes, with a B, $100 billion a year to theft. And this is just another example of soft-on-crime California Democrats who pander and continue to pander to the criminal class. How long is it going to take these legislators in California before they realize that their tax base has moved to, as Senator Wilk said, to America and gotten out of California? Businesses are leaving. I saw an article the other day, one of the biggest and most profitable shopping malls in San Francisco is almost empty. Why? Smash and grab shoplifters. And now, unless you are a licensed peace officer who is hired to work off-duty hours as a security guard, they don't want the employees to be put in harm's way by their employer. I can tell you as an employee, when I worked at a couple different places, I worked at AutoZone for a while. If I caught somebody shoplifting, I was tackling them because that affects the ability for me to get a raise. Insurance doesn't come into the equation, doesn't factor into that when you're a good employee. You want to defend your place of work. And when thugs come in and start trying to steal stuff, it irks me. And soft-on-crime DAs that don't prosecute these people, the no bail, the revolving door that is California and New York now, and Illinois is coming to you. Governor Pritzker is to thank for that garbage. Although a bunch of DAs are fighting it, and it's in court, we'll see what happens there. But theft is rampant, and the only way to stop it is punishment, cause and effect. Now, I will be honest. When I was 4 or 5, I stole a pair of dice from our landlord's desk, and I took them back to my house, and I was playing with them, and my mom caught me. Where'd you get those? I took them off of Sherwood's desk. Oh, boy. She marched me back to the office. I apologized and gave the dice back, and when I got home, she tanned my backside. But you know what? I didn't steal anything again, ever, because of the discipline that was implemented right then and there. And by not prosecuting shoplifters to the full extent of the law, you're only giving them more confidence that they can get away with it. And some of these crackpot politicians call it reparations. It's thievery. It is wrong. And two wrongs don't make a right. Well, I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me an hour of your time this week. I greatly appreciate it. Keep your emails and letters coming. I love to get them. And I read all of them, even the bad ones, even those that tell me that I'm not doing a very good job. I still want to read them. I still value your opinion. I may trash it, but I'll read it. As always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.